gospel text today comes from the Gospel of John, chapter 15, verse 26 through chapter 16, verse 4. Sounds like a lot, doesn't it? Actually, it's only six verses, so we'll be out of here before noon today, so we're not going to keep you all afternoon. John 15, I'm going to ask you to stand as I read God's word out of respect for his word, beginning at verse 26 in Jesus' name. When the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, that is the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will testify about me. And you will testify also because you have been with me from the beginning. These things I have spoken to you so that you may be kept from stumbling. They will make you outcast from the synagogue. But an hour is coming for everyone who kills you to think that he is offering service to God. These things they will do because they have not known the Father or me. But these things I have spoken to you so that when their hour comes, you may remember that I told you of them. These things I did not say to you at the beginning because I was with you. Let us pray. Lord, today, just open this portion of Scripture to us. Reveal it to us in a new and fresh way, O Lord, as only your Spirit can do. Descend upon us. Fertile our hearts to receive, our minds to understand, and our ears to hear you speak. In thy name we pray. Amen. I titled my message today, The Christian's Peril. It was not in your bulletin because I forgot to send it to David, and our emails missed second time around, which happens. And so the art of communications and making sure things are right. Jesus warned his disciples in advance about the persecution that was going to come upon them, about their preaching about him. Jesus wanted them not to stumble. He did not want them to stop faithfully preaching and teaching God's word. When the opposition and when the persecution came, Jesus was trying to prepare his disciples so that they would not turn and run tail. Christ is speaking to you today as Christians. That very same message is for you. I have a situation I want to share with you, and I want you to think about how you would handle it. There was a pastor that had answered a call to a church and had been there for 8 months. Sunday morning after the service, the gentleman that was the chairman of the call committee came up to the pastor on his way out and said, "Pastor, I need to meet with you." So they set an appointment. The gentleman showed up at the pastor's office, and he said, "Pastor," he says, "I know and remember when we candidated you, we talked about the Sanctity of Life Sunday, pro-life. And, Pastor, you were very adamant that that's what you believe and that's what you want to teach. Well, Pastor, I'm going to tell you, you cannot preach on pro-life." Continues and says, "This is the reason why you cannot preach on pro-life. You know our chief deacon. His daughter had an abortion before you came, about a year ago, so it was before you came. And the leadership of the church knows, but most of the people don't know anything about this. And you have to understand, Pastor, that this deacon contributes financially the largest portion to our church coffers. So, Pastor, you see, you cannot preach pro-life." you cannot, basically what this man was saying is saying, you cannot preach the truth of the gospel. The man got up and left the office. What was the pastor to do? He couldn't give a response at that moment. How many pastors run into a situation like that every week? Sometimes as Christians, we go to another Christian and we don't even realize what we're asking or not asking them to do. A situation that's never fun to be in. For a pastor or for any Christian that stands on God's word, even in the workplace. On the way to the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus continued to share with his disciples about relationships. The first relationship that he told his disciples that they needed to make sure that they had and worked on was their relationship with him and his Father, so that it was a personal relationship. Similar to the relationship of a vine and the branches. Without the vine, the branches cannot survive. We cannot survive without Jesus Christ. The second relationship that Jesus spoke of in this walk to the garden was their relationship with each other. A relationship of love and unity. The next relationship that Jesus spoke of was their relationship with the world. Because you know what? The world hates Christians. The world doesn't want anything to do with Christians. We are to be a light in this dark world. It's in this context that Jesus warns his disciples in advance that they're going to be persecuted, that people are going to come after them because they're preaching the truth. Jesus warns them of the persecution so that they will not stumble, but rather they will stand firm. The warning of the persecution was not only true for the disciples of Jesus' day and throughout history, but that same warning is for Christ's disciples today, for you and I as Christians. He wants us to proclaim his word truthfully, faithfully. The purpose of this message is to encourage each and every one of us to be faithful in proclaiming his word. Where are you proclaiming his word? Are you proclaiming it at work? Or are you the one that's in there with the off-color jokes, beginning to tell him and starting to laugh? Or are you the one that walks into the lunchroom, bows your head, and prays before you have your lunch? What a witness. Quiet, subtle, doesn't have to be boisterous. What a difference between the way a Christian can testify over the way the world testifies. The world, it's always got to be flashy. It's always got to be the lights on. So oftentimes, we need to take and remember that Christ wants you to stand firm. Remember to be faithful. My first point today is the proclamation. in our text today. The very first thing is we see Christ proclaiming that the Holy Spirit is coming. He's proclaiming that the disciples are going to have a message to proclaim. The Holy Spirit is going to come. He's going to testify to them. He's going to testify about who Jesus Christ is. The Holy Spirit will reveal to them that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. The Holy Spirit's going to reveal to them about Christ's death, his life, his death, his resurrection. How about his ascension and his coming again? All of that is revealed by the Holy Spirit. As a helper, he's coming to empower you and I, to help us to proclaim these things in Jesus' name. In Acts 1:8, it says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be his witnesses, both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and even to the remotest parts of the earth." Mothers, your witness starts in the home and works out from there. As mothers, do you realize the influence you have on your family? Are you praying for your family? As a mother, you gave birth. As a mother, you nurture. Are you there for your child? You are there most often in most situations. The mother is there more with that child than anyone else. Are you there? That's your mission field. So oftentimes we get this idea that a mission field is always in a foreign country. God's word just told us, start at home and then work out. And so oftentimes we forget that. Mothers have a very important job, a job that is very highly held. And when somebody says that the church does not honor the women, that God does not honor women, I hate that when I hear that, because God has honored women with one of the most important roles in their lives. And we've decided to make light of motherhood and set it aside. The message that each and every Christian is given is to share the gospel of Jesus Christ and his kingdom. How can we share it if we're not taught it? We're not taught it at home. We're not taught it in our Sunday schools. If we're not taught it from the pulpits, how can we share it? We water it down because we don't want to be pierced. We don't want our souls convicted. Today, we're going to proclaim the true gospel message. The key to any preaching, any sharing, and when I'm talking about preaching, you all are preachers of the gospel of Jesus Christ. How you share it might be a little different than my position as I share it. But you are to share the gospel of Jesus Christ, and it all comes through the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was given to the first disciples so that they could go forth and proclaim it. It's given to Christ's disciples today to go forth and proclaim the good news. The Holy Spirit is the one who illuminates the Holy Scriptures for us to understand it. How many times have you read and read and read that portion of Scripture, and all of a sudden one day it's like the light bulb goes on and says, "Whoa, I didn't know it said that." It happens to all of us. If you're in God's Word, it's going to happen, because God's going to reveal it to you at the time you need it. So oftentimes we don't even pay attention. We just skim over it. Let's do our devotions. Let's get it over with. We don't take time to study. We don't take time to listen to God. The Holy Spirit is going to empower you to give the message of Jesus Christ. And how is he going to do that but through the Word? And how else are we going to grow but through the Word? The message we proclaim is the whole counsel of God, which is the Bible. Listen to this next statement I make. We must proclaim the Word of God in the power of God to the glory of God. I want to repeat that statement. I want you to really pay attention to it. We must proclaim the Word of God in the power of God to the glory of God. The only way we can proclaim it is in His power, and it's to glorify Him. It's not to glorify us. How many times have we needed to be reminded of that? My second point is the persecution. Jesus next speaks about persecution. He tells the disciples in no uncertain terms that they, as disciples of His, will be persecuted. This persecution comes to all people who claim to be a child of God's. A statement that I've heard time and time again throughout the years is one that I think we need to really take a hard look at. And that statement is, Christians are the only group that shoots their wounded. How many times have we not come alongside somebody who's hurting because we didn't want to be involved? We didn't want to take hold of them. David and I met for prayer this morning. I come out and Mike looks at me and says, "What's wrong?" I must have had one of those looks that wasn't computing just right. But he was concerned. He wanted to know. I had just come out of prayer. There should not have been anything but a glow. But I was thinking about making sure that I had the right hymn that we changed to for the service, and it wasn't computing right. But there was a Christian brother that was concerned. How many times have we not been concerned when we should be? Jesus said that these people will believe they're doing a service to God when they're out there tearing someone down that's hurting. Paul is a prime example of that. What did Paul do? He believed that he was doing a service for God. He was a Pharisee, a zealot, one that was very studied in Scripture and knew Scripture well. And Paul killed Christians in the name of God. Jesus said, Christians that are going to stand up and proclaim His name are going to be thrown out of synagogues. They're going to be killed. Persecution's going to come to those in the church from within the church. It's not going to come from society. It's going to come from people that claim to be Christians. Persecution is going to range from very mild to very severe in churches. Mild persecution starts out with criticism. That something that'll wear a Christian down is criticism after criticism. One of the criticisms that most pastors that stand on God's word ends up and receives most often might be something like this: that message was way too long today, Pastor. That message was so boring, Pastor, I didn't get anything out of it. When somebody says something to me about being boring, I always ask them, did you prepare your heart to come to worship? It really comes back to each one of us. Are we prepared? How about another one? Hey, Pastor, I wish you'd tell more jokes or more stories during the message so it wasn't so boring. What are we here for, to be entertained? God's word says in the end times, people are going to want their ears tickled. They don't want to hear the truth. Another form of mild persecution is just stop coming to the church. Guess what? I'm speaking to the choir today because you're here. You know? But people use all kinds of excuses. Persecution comes in the form of not listening to God's word being proclaimed. One of the greatest blessings I have gotten, I think, out of year after year of confirmation is that at least one, and oftentimes almost every confirmation student will come to me and says, Pastor, you know, I hated taking notes, but I took them because I knew I had to. And you know when the one thing that it has taught me more than anything else this year? Is that, Pastor, I now am getting something out of the messages. Before that, they were boring. I didn't want anything to do with them. But now, because I have to take notes, I'm listening, I'm receiving something. And I always say, praise the Lord. Notes taking is not a punishment. It's a privilege. Persecution then turns and moves oftentimes much more severe. Sometimes in the form of slander. Sometimes in false accusations. How many times has that happened to you in your life? But you know, one of the worst persecutions that is happening in our churches today is that pastors that are standing in God's word and preaching it are either asked to resign or are fired. Number three, the preparation. The preparation for Christ's disciples was given by Christ himself. He says, this is what I want you to do. I want you to remain faithful. And especially when persecution comes your way, I want you to remain faithful, but I'm going to send you a helper. I don't expect you to do it alone. My helper is going to be here to help you get through that persecution. There are three things that Christ wants us to do to prepare for persecution. The first thing is he wants us to do is love each other in unity. How many times in churches do we have so many different personalities, we decide that we're going to use our personalities instead of Christ's love? We don't allow Christ's love to enter. We don't allow it to become, that's the standard. I'm going to love you the way Christ loves you. I'm not going to love Russell because he's Russell. I'm going to love Russell the way Christ loves him. That is what God's asking us to do. To help one another. To come alongside when someone's hurting. Say, I care. I'm praying for you. Second thing that Christ wants us to know about when persecution comes our way is that it comes from those who truly do not know the Heavenly Father. They have no personal relationship with Jesus Christ and God the Father. And because they do not have a personal relationship, it's all a head knowledge. It's no heart. No personal knowledge. The third thing is that Jesus reminded them to pray and to be prepared for persecution so that they would not stumble. Be faithful in proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ. Spend time in prayer helping to prepare for this. And whatever you do, preach faithfully God's word. Persecution comes from those who are misguided and deceived by the devil. Many church members today are only nominal church members. We have become illiterate Christians today. We want to be spoon-fed. We expect everything to be prepared. And we just need to sit there and receive. Pastor, don't expect us to get out of the pew, but just spoon-feed us a little milk every week so that we can make it through the next week. One of the things that's happened in this congregation since I came is that we have the scripture text in the bulletin for next week. Many of you read it. Many of you study it. Many of you are prepared to come and worship and to receive. That is a blessing. It's not only a blessing for me, it's a blessing for you as you prepare for that. Be ready to receive what God has for us. As Christians, we are going to suffer for our faith. We're going to suffer because we stand on God's word. Christians today are going to suffer. Matthew 10:28 tells us, "Do not fear those who kill the body, but are unable to kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both the soul and the body in hell." Most men can torture us. They can even kill our body. But God is the one we should fear because he's the one that can kill our body and send our soul to hell. Jesus is telling us not to fear man. Man can't kill our soul. We need to fear God. Because one day, each and every one of us will be standing before him. We're going to have to answer for what we've done. None of us will stand before the deacon board. None of us will stand before the chairman of the call committee and have to answer about our preaching and our teaching the way we are going to have to stand before God himself. That's who you and I are going to have to give account for. How did you preach the gospel at work this week? Were you a witness this week? Christian brothers and sisters, our Lord Jesus Christ is very clear in his word. You and I have a message to proclaim. And when we proclaim that, we can expect opposition. We can expect persecution. But when we're faithful in sharing God's word, he's there. But God's word tells us to be prepared. Don't draw back from God's word. Don't draw back from faithfully being a witness at work. Continue to proclaim the word as persecution goes on. Patty always uses the example of language at work, and she's very quick to correct people and how it changes the attitude in the place of work after a while. Picking on you, Patty. Sorry about that. But how true it is. It gets worse, and it keeps going if we don't stand up. We must be faithful no matter what the cost is. There's a spiritual darkness in our world today. And because of the lack of the gospel being proclaimed in our pulpits is why there's a darkness that's growing in our world today. The only way that a church can be spiritually healthy is to have a complete and steady diet of God's word. But that also goes for yours and my personal spiritual health as well. Spending time in God's word. Amen. Lord, again today, I just thank you for your word. I thank you for the toughness, but yet the tenderness of your word. Lord, as we proclaim it, lead us, guide us, and direct us today, Lord. Lord, for the blessings that we have when we are faithful, in thy name we pray. Amen. Let's continue.